that time of the week again. It's time for Chit Chat Across the Pond. This is episode number 454 for September 7th, 2016. And I'm your host, Allison Sheridan. This week, our guest is Linda Goucher. You may have heard her on other fine podcasts like Let's Talk Apple with Bart Bouchatz. How are you doing today, Linda?
I am doing great, Allison. How are you?
Well, happy Apple Announcement Day, huh? That was fun.
Yes, yes, yes. Very exciting.
Well, I did want to say Linda has been on Bart's show quite a few times, and he brings her in specifically after the earnings call because you seem to have a penchant for the understanding sell-side analysts and buy-side analysts, and you always make more sense of the announcements, of the financial announcements, than anybody else I know.
Yeah, I have a pretty good background in the financial stuff, and lots of people in the Apple community do not. And so, to be honest, and it's a personal irk of mine that analysts are not the same. So I do my best to explain all of that.
Yeah, if you want to be educated on it, definitely check out Let's Talk Apple. You were on the most the second to last one, not the one that came out yesterday, but the one the month before, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Whenever
there's
an earnings call. Yeah,
that's great. I love to hear you on there. But we are actually on here, and I don't think I've technically ever done this before, had a guest on to talk about the Apple event. It seems like an obvious thing, but I haven't done it before, so I thought we'd have some fun with it.
Yeah, that sounds fun. It was fun to watch.
Well, speaking of fun, the opening of it was carpool karaoke, and I thought that was adorable, didn't you?
I did. I really enjoyed it. I'm not that familiar with the show, and but I liked what I saw. It was very good.
Yeah, to see Tim Cook in there doing karaoke, singing in the car, that was hysterical. I thought that was really funny. But because you don't see Tim let his hair down, you know?
Right, right. Singing Alabama.
So the show started out kind of slow. I thought one of the funny things in a funny, sad, pathetic kind of way was a woman got out there to do a demo of iWork, and she was so excited about the fact that they have real-time collaboration in iWork now.
I know.
Wasn't that sad?
Well, it's taken them forever.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Apple does take forever sometimes, and once they do it, usually they get it right. So hopefully it's really, really good.
But she's like, look, I'm putting things in a presentation, and look, somebody else is too. And look, it's working already. Just like, I felt so bad for her. But didn't they do collaboration, real-time collaboration a while ago?
They had something, I think, that was just net-based, and it wasn't that good, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's the way I remember it.
Yeah, so...
Well, then they did one. They like to do talk about how many of everything they've done and how wonderful they are and everything. But they did have a chart that I thought was kind of interesting. Tim showed a list of the top watch manufacturers before Apple came into it. Number one was Rolex, and I forget what all the other numbers were. But afterwards, Apple came in second. They are the second largest by sales revenue of watches.
Yeah, that's really interesting because some of those watches are extremely high end, $10,000, $5,000, et cetera. So that's impressive.
Yeah, sir, definitely completely different than saying by quantity. I'm thinking maybe Timex would have been a little higher, right?
Yeah. That could, you would think.
So maybe all this really tells us is they charge a lot for the watches.
Well, they do, but they're, you know, the whole Swiss watch industry does as well. So It's not bad.
True. Yeah. It wasn't trailing. That's for sure. Well, the big announcement watch wise was that they've come out with, what are they calling it now? Apple Watch Series 2.
Right. Right.
So they have to come up with funny names. It's going to be irritating because they also came out with Apple Watch Series 1. Is that right? Which is the original Apple Watch, but with a slight enhancement, I think.
Right. That's correct. I think they just changed the chip in that.
Yeah. So it gets the dual core processor, which is good. So if you were to buy a Series 1 today, tomorrow or whenever these things come out, you'd get a faster processor. So that's good. And the original one will be cheaper at $269. The new one will be $369. And I think that's $19 more expensive than the bottom of the line used to be, right? Used to be $350.
That sounds right.
Now, a lot of people have complained about the Apple Watch not being waterproof. I mean, you could kind of, like Tim said, he takes a shower with it, kind of waterproof. But it's now waterproof to 50 meters. So it's they expect you to go swimming with this.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be really good for people who use that as their means of getting the most exercise.
I know going down to the beach, it's always like, man, I'm going to go in the ocean and I'm not going to get any credit, because it's all about the credit, getting those little circles to go around.
Right, right.
I worry about getting the circles to go around even though I just had ice cream, you know. I do the circles so I can have ice cream.
That's right. So you can burn off the calories. That's
right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, this may not be the biggest part of the announcements of the day, but I thought that one of the coolest things they showed in terms of innovation, you know, everybody says Apple doesn't innovate, is that the speaker, if you get a speaker wet, a speaker needs air in order to work. So it has to be able to move air back and forth. For the people who haven't ever seen how a speaker actually works, is it's a coil of wire around a magnet. And when you run electricity through a wire, it will make the magnet move back and forth. And then that in turn pushes a diaphragm that moves the air, which is how you can hear. And so that needs air. It's got to have air. So how do you have a hole in a watch that's got a speaker and still get the, you know, have it be able to be open to the air and yet still waterproof? And they said that the speaker itself ejects the water. How cool is that?
That was very cool. Their picture of that was also very cool. So if people haven't seen the presentation itself, they might want to do that. Might want to see it just to see that, you know, see this piece.
Yeah, squirting. It's like a squirt gun out of the side. I kind of want to submerge it just to see it do it, you know? And does it wait until the next time you need to use it to squirt the water out? Like you're sitting in a meeting and the speaker comes on and it squirts water out?
I got the idea that as soon as you got out of the water, it would squirt it out. But I don't know how it would tell.
Yeah.
So that's an open question.
We have to do some exhaustive testing on that. They showed a whole bunch of watches on a paddle wheel going in and out of the water, in and out of the water. They said they ran it 24 hours a day, hundreds of thousands of strokes to test them. I thought that was, you know, only Apple would show you how they tested them.
Right, right.
They talked about measuring calorie burn. So they've got two different apps, or two different modes in the activity app now, in the exercise app, I should say. Wait, workout. That's what it's called. Workout app. One for indoor swim, one for outdoor swim, which is kind of interesting what the difference is. I know they called them something different, but that was the basic idea. But they said they actually measured lactic acid changes in people to measure the calorie burn. I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is interesting. I don't know how they could possibly do that, but, you know, okay.
Yeah. Do you use the Apple Watch for activity and exercise?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But I typically set it, you know, I tell you, set it. Okay. Now I'm going to go for my walk, which is kind of like a walk run, or my spinning.
Oh, good.
Which is what I do.
They didn't. Yeah. One of the things I really liked was that they're going to have Siri to start a workout.
You know what? Some people do that already. I walk with a friend of mine who will set that up. You know,
really?
He'll just say, yeah, a couple. And as a matter of fact, one of my spinning buddies does that too, but I have never gotten it quite to work. So
so can you say, I want an outdoor walk, no goal, and it would start it? I'm going to do it right now.
I'm not sure what, yeah, try open it. The way I have heard it from my friend who does it. And again, I always go press the button. So, but he will say, start a walk open ended.
Oh,
I don't know.
Wow. I'm going to try it right now.
All right.
Let's see. Start a walk open ended. She's thinking. Oh my gosh, it went to workout and it says ready. Holy cow.
There you go.
What was this big announcement then?
I don't know.
Well, question. Look at this. Yeah. You learn something every day. That is pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this was under the Series 2 watch announcement. Well, look at that. Okay. Now I'm going to go try everything else.
Yeah. There you go.
Can I say 46 minutes?
Yeah.
So let's see. We should go faster. I'm talking too much about the Apple Watch Series 2 because I don't know that it was that interesting. It's got a dual core processor, 50% faster. The GPU is twice as fast. I got excited because they showed the Night Sky app. Bart is a big fan of that, and they showed it moving at 60 frames per second, so he's got to be excited.
That should be cool. The only other thing about the watch is that I think there's been a number of people, and I've said this to people that ask me about it. I say, okay, go ahead and get one, but wait until the second version comes out. Because the first one I thought was like, I mean, I love mine, but there's not enough to recommend it to someone who's not, you know, really into the little pieces. Now I think they've got enough going.
Do you? So what of the new stuff makes you think you would tell someone, yeah, this is a better watch to get, or this is more useful?
A lot of it is the OS itself, that fast, that much more responsive. It opens up a whole lot of different apps. You know, the fact that you can just pull it up, that responsiveness feature is the most important. But also just that they've gone through a second set. They've got the OS is working better. There will be improvements on the CPU, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
The waterproofing, all of that.
It might even be just watchOS 3 is what makes it worth it, right? Is the speed on that. Because I feel like my watch is just getting slower and slower. It's taken like five taps to get, you know, I'm looking at the activity app and I'm tapping, you know, I'm tapping an exercise and I'm saying, I want an outdoor walk, and I tap it, nothing happens. I tap it again. Oh, there it is.
So I'm going to say, how long has it been since you restarted it?
It's funny you should say that. On my walk this weekend, I was thinking, you know, I wonder how long it's been since I restarted this watch. Yeah, it might be time to do that. We didn't even mention it's going to have a built-in GPS.
Right.
So
right.
What do you think of that? Does that have any advantages to you?
Not to me personally, but to people that I know, because I'll take my phone. I want my phone with me. I'm attached to it, you know. But
as a woman walking somewhere, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure it is. From a safety perspective, I'm sure it is. I don't generally walk a lot of places where I feel unsafe. Or maybe I just am belligerent enough so that I feel pretty safe anyway. but it's an advantage. I think it's an special advantage for people who are runners and who do a lot of different routes and who want to see precisely where they've been. That doesn't fit for me, but I think it will fit for a lot of other people.
So I saw that they showed a route map with colors for how fast you went in the different areas. I think that's what it was showing on the route map. Did that look like it was built into the activity app? Or was that a third party app when they showed that?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. That's worth finding out.
Because I would really like to see my routes at times and see how fast I went, be able to see the split times on there. I think that would be really neat, even though I don't vary my walks very much. But I've tried to use Map My Walk, and I was complaining to Bart about this recently because he really likes Map My Ride. And I'm a competitive spirit. I would like to be able to see, I walk really, 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 really fast. And I would like to see whether I'm walking faster than people who walk the same route. And so with Map My Walk, you can do that. But I look at it, and here's all these people, and they're running. Well, yeah. I don't walk faster than most people run. I have passed three people who are running. But, that's no fun.
Right. Right. Yeah. The app needs an improvement there, then, it seems to me.
Yeah.
Right. Because it needs to make that different. Yeah. It needs to make that differentiation.
Yeah.
So
now how about they showed a ceramic version of the watch, right?
Yes. Yes. Looked very cool. I was like, oh, wow, that might tempt me to get a new one, you know, until I saw the price.
Yes. How much is that new watch?
Yeah,
$1,249. So they didn't mention gold, but they mentioned ceramic. I thought that looked really cool till I saw that price. Yeah, no, I'm kind of an aluminium kind of girl. How about you?
Yeah, well, I have the stainless steel one now. So, but I'll have to decide. Yeah, I'll have to decide what I want to do. If I may not buy a new watch, I may wait. I don't know. We'll see on that. I'll definitely get the phone, but I'm not sure about the watch.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When I was watching, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm getting this. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And then after I'm looking, I'm going, I don't know. So, $369. You could also get a Nike version that had holes in the bands, perforated. I thought it was kind of cool looking, but I'm not going to buy a special watch just to get a cool band.
Yeah. And that one's not my thing. It's just not my style. So, and it will work well for some people.
All right.
Not me.
So Let's see. Let me look at my calendar. This Friday, we can order the watches. September 13th, which is Tuesday, we get Watch OS 3. And then next Friday, the watches will be available.
Right. Right. Cool. Very exciting.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the real exciting part. Let's talk about the iPhone. So I said to my daughter tonight that I really felt like Johnny Ive had done a Vulcan mind meld with Steve Jobs in order to steal the reality distortion field. I started hyperventilating when he was doing his demo, or not his demo, but the video. I was
the
just
video.
Like, look, I need this. And it was how they were polishing the black the black version of it that I was so excited by.
Yeah. He makes it look so sexy.
Oh, he does. Yeah. He does. Let's see, back you up a little bit. When Tim Cook came out, he said, of the iPhone 7, it's the best iPhone we've ever created. And he giggled as he said it. I love that. Later on, I think Phil Schiller said it, but he said it with a straight face. So that wasn't as funny as I thought.
Yeah.
But yeah. So they're coming in that jet black finish, which they went on and on and on. They said they had it was going to be polished with a capillary process with a high finish. Let's see, rotational 3D polish. Something about an iron shard bath they talked about.
Yeah, I saw those pictures and I went, OK, I don't quite understand that, but I'm not a materials engineer. So
sure, yeah. Looked cool, though. But all I could think of was with that glass, that glossy black was fingerprints.
Oh, that's a point. That's a point.
I don't know. Unless they put a that oleophobic coating on it or something.
Yeah, that could be. That would be worth holding in your hand. You know, going to I have to go to the store and see and touch.
Yeah.
So
I wonder how soon they're going to have them in store. I'm sorry, not in store. In Apple. Right.
In Apple locations.
The Apple showcase.
There you go.
by the way, I have not officially on the show pointed out that I called it about a year and a half ago. I started calling it the Apple showcase because everything I went to buy wasn't there. And sure enough, wow. Here it is, a year and a half later, and Angela has finally just gotten rid of the word store.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Setting our expectations. All right. Oh, did you understand exactly what they did with the home button? Because they've changed that, right?
They have changed it, and force sensitive is the language that you've gotten with the Taptic Engine. But as I understand it, and this is from listening to somebody else on it, it's not quite the same as the Taptic that we're used to. So maybe that's why they said new Taptic Engine. So did I understand it exactly? No. But I gather it's just simply going to be different.
So they said it was going to do quick actions like message notifications, something about ringtones, and then we're going to put an API with the home button itself.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have to see what people come up with for that.
All right.
Yeah. So quick actions like message. What I do remember from the WWDC presentation, they mentioned specifically, because now if you hit your phone, sometimes it comes right up. It doesn't give you the opening screen. It goes right to, in my case, an article I was reading.
Fast?
Yes. Yes. Because you're really doing two taps in one. And the OS itself was supposed to correct that. But exactly how this the new home button interacts with that, I'm not sure. But that may be maybe part and parcel of the same thing or something in the combination.
It is funny that people don't like it coming up so fast because I have the iPhone 6. And it really bothers me that I have to wait like a 2 or 3 nanoseconds for it to come up, unlike Steve's, it comes right up.
Oh, well, it's just, I can't, if I want to go, let's say I want to go to my notifications.
Oh, they're
then
gone?
I can't, they're gone because it comes right all the way up to the home screen.
Oh, okay.
That's the complaint. Yeah.
So now you can do something different with it, that'll be interesting. Well, yeah. So this is IP67 protection standard level water and dust resistance, which Linda and I went off and did a little bit of reading. And basically, we've boiled it down to we think it can get wet, but don't swim with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my understanding.
So go ahead.
It's just that there's a lot of people, and I know a number of people that have accidentally dropped it in the bathroom into water. And that's a problem because then Apple ends up either replacing it or not replacing it. But it is a problem. I've known a lot of women who have it in the back pocket of their jeans. You know, yep. And there's a problem. So let's solve that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's going to be terrific. I'm sure they get tired of fixing them. We get tired of breaking them. So yeah. I want to gush about the cameras. So the first thing in the iPhone 7, not the 7 Plus, but in all versions of the iPhone 7, they're going to have optical image stabilization. So previously in the iPhone 6, you didn't get it in the 6S. You only got optical image stabilization in the 6S Plus. So that basically helps with a shaky hand problem. And I think that's going to be, you know, that's only better pictures if you have that. They also put in an f1.8 aperture lens. So what that means is that it can be a wider aperture, which gathers more light. So in this case, 50% more light than they had before. I believe it was an f2.2, as I recall. That also allows you to do a shallower depth of field photo, too, when you've got a wider aperture like that. It's got a 12 megapixel sensor, which I think is what they had before, but 60% faster and 30% more energy efficient. And they were really plugging away at the energy efficiency. Later on, they talked about the CPU, that they had four cores. Two of the cores are going to be like high powered cores to make things faster, and two of them are high efficiency ones. So they'd hand off things that could be on the more energy efficient side, which is okay, cool. let's see. They talked about the new signal processor. They said it looks for people and bodies in photos, sets the aperture or the exposure, sets a white balance. They showed all of these things as though they were layers of it doing, does tone mapping, noise reduction. I mean, the image processing that goes on inside the iPhone is really extraordinary. A lot of people talk about, well, it's got the same lenses on any other, you know, on a lot of other phones. We used to call them that. But they're doing a lot of image processing that's pretty, pretty crazy. They said they do 100 billion operations in 25 milliseconds.
Yeah, that is amazing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they also said that they're going to have raw photos in the iPhone 7. Are you familiar with what that is?
Basically, yeah, you're just getting all of the data, which gives you the ability to do more in post, is my very basic understanding.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's exactly right. I like to think of it as like a WAV file versus an MP3 file. It's an uncompressed file. It's kind of a good analogy, RAW versus a JPEG. So instead of having the phone process it and then give it to you as a small JPEG, you can get to process it. But the most interesting thing he said about that, and I think it was, I forget if it was Tim or if it was Phil by that time,
Phil.
He said, just picture it. You'll be on your iPhone processing raw photos in Lightroom.
Yeah. Yeah. So Lightroom has, I guess there's an app. There's a Lightroom app for the phone.
Yeah. Yeah, there
that's
is.
Been there.
Yeah. People really like, they see it's a good way to do triage of your photos, if nothing else. So you can go through and throw away bad photos in Lightroom, but I guess you can do more. Maybe you'll be able to do this raw photo manipulation. But I found it really interesting that he didn't say that you could edit raw photos in Photos.
That is interesting. Good point. Good point. And I have no idea if you will not be. Well, I can't imagine that. Huh? That's going to be interesting to find out. Good point.
Yeah, that would be kind of telling. I think that disappointing to me since I'm a Photos user. Everybody should be excited about is the iPhone 7. Not talking about the Plus yet. The 7 in the iPhone 6S, we've had a 5 megapixel FaceTime camera, so the front side camera. It's now going to be 7 megapixels, so that's going to give you better photos on the selfie side.
Right. Right. Hey, going back to the RAW for just a second, that's going to take up a lot of storage unless people are really on it about that, I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah, it will.
So that would be like I'm guessing that they'll do a setting where you can do RAW or JPEG.
Yeah, or possibly both. Sometimes cameras will do both at the same time, which uses up even more storage. So that's correct. That will. Maybe they're putting RAW photo support in just to sell more iCloud Photo Library subscriptions. iCloud Drive space.
That's true. That's true. I don't think that's the only reason they're doing it. I'm sure some people will want it, but that's going to be something to tell people about.
Yeah. It is amazing to me how many people I meet who I do tech support in the gym, in the changing room. Every right, time I go in there, I'm swarmed by people saying, hey, Allison, I got a question about this. And how many people I've told about the iCloud photo library and said, yeah, give them a buck a month and that whole problem goes away. And they come back the next week going, oh, my God, it's perfect. This is amazing. My photos are everywhere. It's like, you know, they don't take that many photos, but their camera's full and they don't, you know, their phone is full and they can't do anything about it. But for a dollar. And, you know, I know later on they're going to have to pay $3, but still they get it just solves the problem for a dollar and they're really happy about it.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So let's get really exciting and talk about the iPhone 7 Plus cameras, because these things are crazy. It's got two 12 megapixel cameras in it. Now, he specifically said cameras, not just lenses, which I thought was really interesting. So there's a wide angle lens, a 28 millimeter fixed wide lens, and a telephoto 56 millimeter lens. And I was trying to find out whether that's the 35 millimeter equivalent of those terms, which matters because if you're comparing two cameras, you have to have a way to compare the size of the from the sensor. Alistair Jenks found it in a couple of places where it said that was the 35 millimeter equivalent. So calling it a telephoto lens of 56 millimeters is really not very zoomed up, but it's twice as zoomed up as the normal lenses have been. So traditionally, an iPhone would have a 28 millimeter wide lens.
Okay.
So now what they're going to do with that is really interesting. When you first go to take a picture, it's going to say 1X. And they say that if you tap it, it'll optical zoom up to the 2X lens. And so it's still 12 megapixels because they got a separate camera in there doing the 12 megapixels on that. And it's an optical zoom. My first thought there is they said you tap on the button to change it from 1X to 2X. Don't you usually tap on that button to take the picture?
I think it's, well, tech on the button.
So
I wonder if it's the button or if it's the picture, because you know how now you tap on it and
focuses,
it brightens it up and focuses. Bounce.
Yeah. He said you tap on the camera, like the shutter button, if you're the shutter, if you will, on the thing. So I'm not quite sure what happens. Maybe you press and hold to take a picture now instead of tapping.
No clue.
That's going to bug them.
We're going to have to see what they do. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but then they also said you drag it around. You can drag it from 1X to 2X. And that'll be your optical zoom. And you can keep zooming by doing this little scroll gesture to get up to 10X, but then you'll be in the digital zoom. So that's kind of interesting. They're using two separate cameras with two separate lenses and yet zooming between the two.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of math,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm also excited. They're working on what they called an extra credit portrait project. Yeah, this was Phil Schiller who was talking, because he said that they're working on an extra credit project that'll be available later in the year, where they'll right where you normally would see like you would go from pano to video, switching between those different modes. One of them will become portrait, and they're going to use these two lenses to give you a really nice sharp photo of a person. It'll sense that where the person is in the photo and create that beautiful bokeh or blur of the background that's available that you really like in a digital SLR.
Yeah, is that shallow depth of field?
Yeah, but they're going to do it with the two lenses combined, which was interesting. So they're going to sense, that's got to be sensing distance too, to say what's far away and what's close with the two lenses, even though they're so close together. That'll be pretty interesting. And I want to know, will it work on flowers? Because I like to take pictures of flowers that way.
Me too. Oh, that's a good question.
So that could be pretty cool. Let's see. What's next? Oh, they also said that the screen was going to be 25% brighter. I'm an old person. I like the brighter these things are, and I forgot to even mention that on the watch is going to be a lot brighter. That might be enough to make me get the watch. Now that I think about it,
yeah, this watch series two, right?
Yeah, because I just a lot of times I get messages on my wrist, and I know if I had enough light, if it was bright enough, I could see it. I have to go run into the shade, and I'm holding my hand over it trying to see it, and it's kind of a hassle. So. I'd be excited about that. And seeing the iPhone 7 is going to be 25% brighter. That was when they were talking about, I'm not sure if that's all cameras or not, or I'm sorry, both phones or not.
Right, because you, yeah, I'm no, yeah, okay.
All right.
I'm hoping it's both.
They're going to have stereo speakers, twice as loud. That could be cool if it's done as well as they did with the iPads.
Right.
Should right. like that. And then they took the headphone jack out, Linda.
I know.
Ringing of hands.
Yeah, it doesn't matter that much to me. I'm going to be an oddball, but I have some friends for whom that's very important. So.
So you had a friend who was asking a question. Why don't you tell us about that?
Okay. She is, well, she has an expensive pair of headphones, Bose noise-canceling headphones that were given to her by her kids. And she's moving from a 5S to a new phone. And she's considering going with a 6S instead of the 7 because of the headphone jack. And I'm thinking that's not a good idea, partially because of the camera improvements. And she's talking about moving to the Plus, either the 6S Plus or the 7 Plus. And given that she takes pictures, she goes birding, and she also, like you, Allison, has a new grandbaby, her very first. These are reasons to take pictures and reasons to take very good pictures. So
she's going to get if she got the 7, she's going to get a faster camera. She's going to be able to do selfies with the baby at 7 megapixels instead of 5. She's going to be able to get sharper focus with these new lenses, be able to zoom up on the baby. At this stage, he or she will not be moving around terribly quickly, so it shouldn't be too big of a problem, but better in low light, which is where you take pictures of children usually. And plus, the dongle's $9.
Well, it comes with a dongle in the box, right?
It comes with it, but let's assume she's got 3 sets of headphones. You can buy another dongle for $9. For a $150 pair of Bose headphones, I'd put a $9 dongle on it, right? Just leave it hanging on it.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Even if she took the one out of the box.
Yeah.
And just stuck it on and left it there.
So she might think that she can't plug it in, might be the problem.
Yeah, I don't know. She said something about she didn't like the idea of a dongle, but I don't see how it would be a problem. Anyway, I'll see what I can do in terms of saying here are some, you know, because it's not my money, it's her money. So
yeah, I mean, still, if money's an object, she's going to save money by getting the 6S Plus if that's what she wants to do, and it'll probably be great. She'll probably like it, but
from a 5S. But I lost my train there. But she. Yeah. Okay.
One of the things they said I thought was interesting, they pointed out that there are 900 million Lightning devices out there.
Right.
Just kind of an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't think I would. I think I would go with the better camera. Oh, the storage. They are, in fact, you may have that further down, but the fact that they're also moving up the storage capacity with the 6S as well. So that's
So the bottom line is 32, right?
Yeah.
If she gets 32, tell her to buy iCloud Photo Library though, if your iCloud Drive.
I think she will go higher than that.
Yeah, but
let me ask you this. If she's taking pictures of birds, that additional ability with the two lenses to zoom in, that would be an advantage, would it not?
Yeah.
Since she goes birding.
That would be a very big advantage. But does she take pictures with her phone today, or does she have a real camera?
I don't know.
If she has a real camera, this wouldn't be that much better.
Right.
This wouldn't stand out because, like I said, the 56 millimeter, if it is the 35 millimeter equivalent of 56 millimeter, that's not really a zoom. Closer to fixed. Normal prime lens, really.
Okay.
So with their getting rid of the headphone jack, and actually TechCrunch had a fabulous tweet. They said, Apple kills headphone jack, 1878 to 2016.
Yeah.
I'm not going to cry for the headphone jack. Just, move on. Just move on. In a while, it won't matter, right?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
The only thing that bothers me about getting rid of the headphone jack is not that Apple got rid of it. It's that Apple has Lightning and everybody else is going to do USB-C, which means headphones as a general rule, are no longer standardized.
Right. That's right.
And that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. That I will put in the bad column. I don't think that that's an advantage for us as humanity. But on the other hand, I'm tired of wires. I'm real tired of wires. Do you use a Bluetooth headset?
I don't. But the one that I have, the one I have is not very expensive, and I have been holding off partially because I'm not sure what I want to do. But the one I have has a flat wire, so it doesn't tangle.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah, I don't even remember where I got it. I heard about it somewhere. And
well, like right now, I'm wearing real nice Bose cans over my ear, over the ear headphones, and I fight constantly because the wire drags across my trackpad, and all of a sudden my trackpad's going berserk, and I can't figure out why. So I get tired of that. I get tired of fighting them in my purse. I'm definitely tired of them. So they announced Apple AirPods. Oh, so they will not. They're going to be shipping the headphone to Lightning jack adapter, but they're also going to be shipping Lightning headphones in there. And I've heard a lot of people say that most people use the headphones that come in the box. I don't know if anybody has been quoting a real source on that, though.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, I know people who do that, but personally, they don't fit for me. So.
Yeah. So I think you and Steve, and I bet a lot of people are in that boat where do they just fall out?
Yeah, on one of my ears in particular. In one ear, it might stay for part of the time, but the right ear, it's not going to work. So
I thought Steve was just being a whiner, you know, that they weren't comfortable or something. And then I watched him once where he had to use them and it was just constantly falling out. So, well, let's say you did have the right kind of ears. They have their new Apple AirPods, and these were interesting. I've been told that somewhere in the documentation they do have that it is Bluetooth, but they never said Bluetooth. These look like the regular earbuds. Okay. My cat just changed where I was in the notes. That's handy. Grace. So anyway, they look like Apple ear pods, but then they have just kind of a cylinder coming down from them, and you put them in a little case where they charge. And that's kind of interesting. So the case itself has a 25 hour charge to it, and the headphones themselves go 5 hours. When I heard 5 hours, I thought, well, that's terrible, but you usually don't listen for 5 hours straight. You'd probably be taking them in and out in that length of time, right?
Usually, yeah, unless you're on a very long flight.
Yeah, long flight, I don't know whether that would help. But they had a couple other things like infrared sensors so that they only play when they're in your ears. If you pull them out of your ears, they stop the music or the podcast.
That's pretty cool.
I thought that was cool, yeah. Motion responsive, you can double tap them. They said just tapping on it, like smacking it with your finger, it's not a button. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
They said voice accelerometers recognize your voice is what I typed. And when I was listening, and I don't know what that was. I mean, I know what an accelerometer is and I know what voice is, but it recognizes that you're speaking. I'm not sure. Oh, that's when they said they're beamforming microphones. So they would pick up your voice in order to reduce external noise. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
They said intelligent device switching. So they showed that you open the case and your phone will say, hey, did you want a pair of these?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Ease of use. That's very cool.
If that works, that's fantastic. That would be really good. Bluetooth has gotten better, I think, lately. I've been having more success with it. I've got my Smart Bean that I talk about all the time that takes any headphones and turns them into Bluetooth, which, by the way, get one of those. Now you don't care whether there's a headphone jack. And it is paired to both of my iPads and my iPhone. Whichever one I open and start playing from, it plays from that first.
Right. That's called Smart Bean, B-E-A-N?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
I will send you an Amazon affiliate link if you're interested. But yeah, it's about the size of the old iPod Nano, the square one that was a clip. So you clip it on your shirt, you plug in your headphones, and you're done. You've got Bluetooth. And it is, to me, it's the best one I've used. I tried a lot of Bluetooth headphones, and I always got interference from the sack of water that I am interfering. But these don't. It works really well. I get no breakup from this at all. It works really, really well. It's about $25 on Amazon. Sometimes gets as low as $15 or so. It kind of varies in price a lot. But yeah, you can go fast forward, rewind, increase, lower volume, pause, play. Can't do Siri, oddly enough. Oh, but it also has a microphone on it. So if it's under your shirt, then it stops wind noise. So I can be walking straight into a gale force wind and people can hear me. It's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. That's good.
So they also talked about some JBL speakers that are headphones that would be able to work with this smart technology, and the wireless functionality they said were pretty cool. And they used the word affordable.
Right. They were one, but did they give a price on those?
They didn't. They used the word affordable. I think he might have also said affordable when he said Bose. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what they do.
So the iPhone itself will have an A10 Fusion chip with 4 cores and a 6-core GPU, the graphical processor unit. That's nuts, Linda.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I wonder if that helps a lot with a brighter screen. Maybe so.
Yeah, I don't know. They did, in that context, they talked about it being 50% faster than the A9 and 3 times faster than an A8. So that's going from my phone, from the iPhone 6, it would be triple the speed, the graphics. But that might be mostly important in gaming. But I suppose it could flip screens faster.
Yeah, that could be. I don't know what else you would use that for. But maybe, what about your photography? No? Or what about video?
Yeah, I don't know. Processing of video that it would work if you're doing playing around with iMovie or something on your phone, it would matter then, but I don't think just in displaying graphics that have already been calculated, it's the calculating of those graphics that costs your GPU usually.
Okay.
But the thing everybody cares about, battery life, an extra hour. Yay! Right?
Yeah.
You don't buy it?
That's over. Well, it's over the 6 Plus, just to point that out.
That was the 7 Plus versus the 6 Plus, right?
Right.
So did they say that the 7 was an hour more than the 6?
My memory is that it was 2 hours. Oh. That the Plus was only 1 hour better, but that the other one was 2 hour better. But maybe I'm making that up, but that's my memory.
Okay. So here we go. The new phone comes out, let's see, you can order on September 9th, shipping September 16th. Are you going to buy one?
Am I?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, yes. What are you going to get?
I don't know what color yet. I have to go look, but I'm sure I'll get a 256, and I'm sure I will get a 7. I will not do the Plus.
Oh,
the size is, I have small hands, and I need to be able to use it.
Yeah. So I'm going to go big.
Oh, you are.
Go big or go home. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to, it occurs to me, I keep my phone in a purse. I don't have pockets on pretty much any of my pants or my shorts. Or if I do have pockets, they're silly pockets. You know, you can put a stick of gum in them or something. So I'm going to go big. I especially want that camera. I just really, really want that camera. I did a bad thing during the live show. During the announcement, we were in my live chat room, and my daughter was in there, and I talked her into a Plus. That was dumb because I'm buying it for her birthday. So,
yeah. Well, she's got a new baby. You know, that's important.
More pictures is good.
That's right.
So we've got silver, gold, rose gold, black, and jet black. Right. Which one's the shiny one?
Jet black.
Ah, okay. So black
jet
is matte black.
Is shiny.
No, right. I've always been a space gray girl, so I don't know. I might go gold.
Ha ha ha.
It's not like you're gonna see it anyway, right? You're gonna put it in an ugly case when we get it.
Probably, yeah. I have to go see. I don't know.
So you're gonna do it, huh? If you mortgage the house to get ready for this?
Yeah, no, well, I you know what I do is I buy them outright, and then I sell the the one I have, and it's not huge. It's not horrible when you do it that way, and you've done it consistently. So,
yeah. Now, what way do you favor for selling?
Actually, most of what I've done is person to person. It's just people that I'll know either from a Mac user group or just, someone, a friend of mine will go, oh, Linda will have one for sale when somebody breaks theirs.
Yeah.
And they contact me.
I do too. I've started to have a lot of success selling through Facebook, actually. Which is good because people who know me know how I take care of my stuff. right? And they know that we actually sold a car through Facebook. We put it on, just basically said, hey, we're selling this car. Here it is. Here's the pictures. And people know that we're crazy about our cars, right? I mean, I wax these cars like crazy. We do, you know, they just know. They've been in our cars. Nobody's even been allowed to eat a Cheerio in our cars. And so they know what they're like. And we had two people contact us within like a half an hour of posting it.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so now I've started to do stuff like phones, so hopefully that'll work out. I've definitely sold a bunch of Macs through Facebook. So, if you do sell them, I don't find that Gazelle, unless they become an advertiser, in which case I will totally change my mind, Gazelle gives you a pretty lowball price in my experience.
I agree. I've gotten rid of some old stuff through them that I didn't think anybody else wanted, but yeah, it's been mostly person to person.
Yeah, I've been getting more like $400 versus $200 on Gazelle. So David Roth in our Facebook group suggested that to look into Amazon for selling it. And he said he's seen much higher sellback prices to Amazon.
I've heard that too, but I looked at it and it looked to me, and I didn't go delving deeply, but it looked to me like you have to go through a whole lot of a rigmarole to set yourself up as a seller and all that. And I kind of thought, that's too much trouble.
That's interesting. Okay, maybe the reason it was no trouble for me is because when we did Tim Verporten's sale of his estate, of his electronic estate, I became a seller. Because I sold a camera lens back to them. I bought a lens knowing it wasn't the lens I wanted, but they weren't selling the one I wanted yet. So as soon as the new lens came out, I sold the old one. The old one was only a couple of months old, and it was super easy, but I was a seller already.
Yeah. It just looks, if you're not already a seller, then it looked like a lot of rigmarole. And I was like, I'm not going to fool with that. So I just put it up on lists for the Mac user groups.
So I'm going to have to sell a couple of my cats because I decided I want the 7 Plus. I want the 128 gig, which is the middle one. I'm going to have to throw some AppleCare on there, right? And then throw in the $159 ear pods and tax, and I'm at $1,230.
Woo! Okay.
For a phone.
Yeah.
Remember when somebody said nobody will ever pay $600 for an iPhone?
Yes, I do remember that. That's exactly what went through my head. Yes.
Well, Linda, it looks like it's going to be fun in the next week and a half. I guess we should touch bases and see what we end up getting.
Yeah. We have a trip coming up, so I may wait until after the trip. We'll have to see how that breaks. But
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So
I'll be sitting up at night, even though I don't think there's going to be any trouble getting these. You can probably walk in on the day of, I imagine.
Yeah.
Except whatever color you want.
Yeah, that'll be the jet black may go.
Yeah.
That's my hypothesis. We'll see what happens.
All right. We'll roll that dice. Well, Linda, thanks so much for coming on with me. And I didn't say this up front, but thank you very much for your incredible level of flexibility. I moved Linda three times in the last 24 hours of what time we were going to talk so that I could do a whole bunch of fun stuff. I really appreciate your patience.
Yeah, not a problem. As I said, it worked for me. It really did work. So it's fine.
All right. Well, hey, if Linda, people wanted to get a hold of you, send you a message, how could they get a hold of you?
Twitter. And we mentioned the initials LLG, the number 4, and then CDG, C like cat, D like dog, G like go. How's that?
And let's see, you've sent 72 tweets so far, I think. Is that right?
I'm a lurker, but if they want to reach me, that will work.
All right, great. And if you guys want to write anything long form to me, I can certainly get it to Linda and connect people. So I really appreciate you coming on, and I hope you can come on again soon.
Okay, great. Me too.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Chit Chat Across the Pond. This is an unsponsored show, so if you like what you hear, you can help support the show by using the Amazon or App Store affiliate links you'll find over at podfeet.com. I love feedback, so if you have questions, comments, or suggestions, you can email me at allison@podfeet.com. If you want to join in the conversation with other listeners, you can go over to our Google Plus community at podfeet.com/Google+ or our Facebook group over at podfeet.com/Facebook. Thanks for listening, and stay subscribed.